Amen. All right, well, we're there in Haggai chapter number 2, and I want to just thank all of you again for those of you who have been praying for me. I'm feeling a lot better. I'm still not shaking hands. I don't know. I guess I'll see how I feel after the preaching this morning, but I've been on antibiotics for about 5 days now, so I think I should be good. And hopefully, but you know, I was going through these times where like I'd spend a few days resting and then I'd preach and I feel like a train just hit me. You know, on Wednesday night I was just preaching with a massive headache and so we'll see how I feel today. I feel good now, so we'll see at the end of service. Maybe I'll feel fine and you will all have the headache. We'll see. But Haggai chapter 2, I want you to look at verse number 19. Haggai chapter 2 and verse number 19. There's a question there. Actually, look at verse 18. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 18, just to get a little bit of the context. It says, "Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it." And here, of course, the Lord is speaking to God's people, and they have been rebuilding the temple. This is after the captivity, when the first temple was destroyed. They've been rebuilding the temple, and God is speaking to them about the fact that they have been building the house of God, and they have been building this temple for God. And he says, "I want you to consider from that day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it." And, you know, this is something that has been on my mind because next week we're going to be celebrating the 8th anniversary of Verity Baptist Church, 8 years since we laid the foundation for this local New Testament church. We know the Bible teaches that the house of God is the local church in the New Testament. The house of God is not a temple physically in Jerusalem somewhere, but it's every local New Testament church is the house of God, the church of the living God. And he tells these people building the church of God in their community, he asks this question, and this question has captivated me this week. This question has been something I've been thinking over and pondering over this week. In verse 19, he says this, "Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn?" And more than just the question is captivating, the answer is discouraging. The answer is yay. He says, "Is the seed yet in the barn?" And he says, "Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth, from this day will I bless you." He asks this question, "Is the seed yet in the barn?" You say, "Why is that an interesting question to you, Pastor? Why is that something that you've been thinking about and pondering over in your mind?" And go with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 8, in the New Testament, Luke chapter 8. You can lose your place in Haggai. I just want you to see that question, "Is the seed yet in the barn?" Luke chapter 8 in the New Testament, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11. That is an interesting question, "Is the seed yet in the barn?" And here's why, because in the Word of God, in the Bible, the Word of God itself is represented by the seed. I'll give you an example of that. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11, we have the famous parable of the sower. And we just recently had our staff guys preach an entire series through this parable. I'm not going to preach about this parable this morning, but I just want you to notice in verse 11, it says, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God." The seed is the Word of God. And you'll find that throughout Scripture, the Word of God, the Bible, is represented as the seed. So in Haggai, when the question is asked, "Is the seed yet in the barn?" You know, I want to ask our church that question this morning. I want to ask this local New Testament church, "Is the seed of the Word of God yet in the barn?" And here's why the question is important, because the seed does not belong in the barn. The seed belongs out in the field. The seed is to be scattered that we might sow and that we might reap. In fact, look at the parable there, Luke chapter 8. And again, I'm not preaching on the parable, but I want you to just notice. Look at verse 5. It says this, "A sower went out to sow his seed." And remember, the seed is the Word of God. That's the picture there. The picture is that a sower, a farmer, goes out into the field and he's sowing the seed. Notice what it says. "And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And notice, some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." Notice verse 7, "And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it." Notice verse 8, "And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears, let him hear.'" And I want you to notice in this parable that the seed is sown indiscriminately. They're not picking, he's not looking just for good ground. Now the goal is good ground, but in order to get to the good ground, he's got to scatter it everywhere. He's got to put it everywhere. He sows the seed upon the rock, upon the wayside, among the thorns, and on the good ground. He's scattering it throughout the entire field indiscriminately. Why? You say, why would he do that? Because the seed belongs out in the field, not in the barn. Notice verse, you're there in Luke chapter 8. Look down at verse number 38. And here's what I want you to understand. And this is all introduction this morning. But in the Bible, you will find that New Testament believers have indiscriminately spread the seed of God's word in their local communities and in their regions of living. That's what New Testament believers have done through centuries. In fact, even at the ministry of Christ, we're there in Luke chapter 8. If you go down to verse number 38, there's an example of that. When you get to verse number 38, we have the famous story of the maniac of Gadara. If you remember the man that Jesus cast out the devils out of. Look at verse 38. It says this: Now the man out of whom the devils were departed, besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away. So he cast out the devils out of this maniac, and he wants to come with Jesus. He besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away. Notice what Jesus said, saying, verse 39, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way. Notice these words. And published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. What did this man do after he got saved, after he got transformed, after he got his life in order? The Bible says that he went and published throughout the whole city. What was he doing? He was scattering the seed. See, if you would have asked this converted man, who used to be possessed with devils, who used to be a maniac, who used to be insane, who used to be naked, and after he was healed, and after he was converted, and after he was saved, and after he was transformed, the Bible says that he sat in his right mind, clothed in his right mind. If you would have asked him, is the seed yet in the barn? The answer would have been a resounding no, because he went back home and he published what God had done to him. Go to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter 5. I want to show you how this is a theme throughout Scripture. Acts chapter 5. Now, while you turn there, let me read for you from Mark chapter number 1. You go to Acts 5, and I'll read to you from Mark 1 and verse 45. Now, in Mark 1, 45, we have the story of a man who had been healed from leprosy. It says this, But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Here, Jesus heals a man of leprosy. And in Scripture, all of these things picture the same thing. Someone getting saved, someone getting sin out of their life. And this man was so thankful for what had been done to him through Christ that he began to publish it much and blaze abroad the matter. If you would have asked this leprous man who was healed, is the seed yet in the barn? The answer would have been a resounding no. He got the seed out. He published the word. He blazed abroad the matter. And the question I have for every person here at Verity Baptist Church, if you are saved this morning, if you know that you're on your way to heaven because Jesus Christ has saved you, or if you've grown in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior through the preaching of the Word of God, if there have been changes in your marriage and in your life and with your children, if there has been a transformation that has happened in your life, the question I have for you this morning is the seed yet in the barn? Are you getting the word out? Are you getting the message out? Are you going back home to your friends and to your family and publishing it much and blazing it abroad and letting people know? This is the theme. Look, you want to know why the local New Testament church in the first century made such an impact on the world to the point where we're still talking about it and impacted by it today? Is because they made it their goal. They made it their business to get the seed out of the barn into the field. Are you there in Acts 5:28? We've seen this verse before. We've seen it recently, but let me just show it to you again. Acts 5:28, I just want you to notice this theme throughout the Bible. Acts 5:28 says this, saying, Did not we straitly command you? And keep in mind, these are the enemies of the church. These are the enemies of the local New Testament church there in Jerusalem. They're saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name, the name of Jesus? And behold, notice the accusation from the enemies of the church of Jerusalem. They said, and behold, ye have failed Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon him. They said, you have filled this city with your doctrine. Why is that said? Because they made it their goal to get the seed out of the barn. They made it their goal to get the seed out into the field. Go to Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 42. This is seen throughout the entire New Testament. Acts chapter 9, verse 42. Just flip a few pages over. Acts chapter 9, verse 42. Notice what the Bible says. And it was known. This is after Peter resurrected Tabitha. The Bible says it was known throughout all Joppa. That city heard about the works of the church there. And many believed in the Lord. Go to Acts 10:37, just one chapter over. Acts 10:37. Notice what the Bible says. Acts chapter 10, verse 37. That word I say, we know. Notice what it says. Which was published throughout all Judea. Here we're being told that the word of God was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. What were the apostles doing? What was the early church doing? They were publishing. That word published means they were proclaiming. They were getting the word out throughout all Judea. That Judea would be the area, not the city, but the area or the region in which they lived. That would be like saying all of Northern California or all of the state of California. It was published throughout all Judea. Go to Acts 13, look at verse 44. Just a few pages over. Acts 13, verse 44. Notice what it says. And the next Sabbath day came almost. I just want you to notice that this is emphasized throughout the Word of God. Came almost. Notice what it says. The whole city together to hear the Word of God. Look at verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. This is Paul speaking. He's saying, this is what we do. This is what we're trying to accomplish. This is what we want to do. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation. Notice what he says. Unto the ends of the earth. Verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Verse 49, and the word of the Lord, notice, was published throughout all the region. I just want you to notice the local New Testament church, the early church in Jerusalem, became very good at, made it their business to make sure that the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God was published throughout their regions, was published throughout their city. What were they good at? They were good at getting the seed out of the barn. You say, Pastor, why are you preaching on this? I'm preaching on it because today most churches just keep the seed in the barn. They never go out and engage their community. They never go out into the highways and hedges. They never go out towards the people. They keep the seed in the barn, and what do? They want the people to come to the barn. They want the people to come to, and then they say, well, let's try to get them in here, and we'll preach the Word of God to them, and we'll preach the gospel every Sunday morning. We won't preach anything but the gospel, and then we'll hold a, 10-minute invitation and try to get them to come down the aisle that they might be saved. And you say, are those people doing that? Are they bad people? They're not bad people, but they're not following the command, and they're not following the format that's given to us in the Word of God. You say, why? Because in the Bible, you see the church taking the seed out of the barn. They're going out into the community. They're going and making sure that the whole city hears of it, that it's published throughout all Judea, that all of Joppa knows, that all of Jerusalem would be filled with their doctrine. Look at Acts 19. Acts chapter 19. Look at verse 10. Acts chapter 19, verse 10. And this continued. Acts chapter 19, verse 10, just a few pages over. Acts 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Notice what it says. I just want you to notice what they got really good at. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Hey, would to God it be said that all they who dwelt in Sacramento heard the word of God, the word of the Lord Jesus. Would to God it be said that all they that live in Sacramento County, all they that live in Northern California, all they that live in California heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 17. And this was known. Notice what it says. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You say, why were they getting the word out? Why were they publishing the word? Why were they getting the seed out of the barn? That the name of the Lord Jesus might be magnified. Look at verse 26. Acts 19, verse 26. Moreover, ye see and hear. Again, this is the enemies of the Apostle Paul speaking. They are commenting on his ministry. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus. They're saying this guy is not just here in Ephesus and not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. What was Paul good at? Paul was good at coming into a community and blazing about. Paul was good at coming into a community and publishing about the Word of God. Paul was good at getting the seed out of the barn. This is what the local New Testament church did. This is what the early church did. This is why they made the impact that they made. You're there in Acts. Go to the book of Romans just real quickly. Romans chapter number 1. You're there in Acts, just one book over. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter number 1. Notice what Paul says to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. He says this. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Notice it wasn't just Paul. Wasn't just the apostles, but the local churches made this their job. Paul says to the church at Rome, he says that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He said the church at Rome had figured out a way to make such an impact that their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You say, Pastor Menes, what are you trying to show us? I'm trying to just make the point, and I showed you all those verses just to overwhelmingly show you that in the Bible, the goal of the local New Testament church was to get the seed out of the barn, was to get the seed into the field, was to get the seed out of the Word of God into the community, filling their cities and their regions with the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, as a New Testament church, Verity Baptist Church, our mission is to get the seed out of the barn, to get the seed of the Word of God out into the field, out into the community. Go with me to the book of 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter, towards the end of the New Testament. If you start at the end of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, and you head back, you're going to go past Revelation, past Jude, past 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, past 2nd Peter, into the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And while you go there, let me just give you some thoughts. You know, this is why, this idea of getting the seed out of the barn, this is what drives much of the ministry here at Verity Baptist Church. And I realize that I'm talking to those of you that are members here and you've been here for a while, but you know, this is why we have soul winning times throughout the week. When we motivate and we mobilize members to go out into the community, knocking doors, preaching the gospel. You say, why do we do that? Why do we take the gospel of the message from house to house in this city? We do that because our job is to get the seed out of the barn. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 14, or if you just want to look in your bulletin, it's the verse in your bulletin. Luke 14 and verse 23 says this, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, when he says compel them to come in, if you study that parable, that's not talking about church. Now, it's great to compel people to come into church, but that's talking about compelling them to come into heaven, that my house may be filled. The parable, the context is he's trying to compel people to come to the house of God in heaven, to come to the house of God up in heaven, that they might go to heaven when they die. He says, I want you to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's why we go out, and that's why we motivate and mobilize people to go out in the community. That's why we had 95 soul winners. Usually we have 70 or 80 soul winners every week. Out in the community, and we get you maps, and we get you organized, we get you partners, we send you out, and we knock doors, and we preach the gospel. Why? Because our goal is to get the seed out of the barn. Amen. Get the seed out of the barn. Now, that's not the only way. That's the main way. That's not the only way, but there's lots of ways we can do this. Look, anytime we package the Word of God and get it out into the masses, we are getting the seed out of the barn. This is one of the reasons why we're active on social media. And when I say active on social media, I'm not talking about putting little tweets out there. I'm talking about getting the Word of God out there. This is why we have YouTube accounts and things like that. And we put the Word of God and we put the preaching out there. You say, why? Because every time a sermon, right now, we're live streaming the sermon right now. And every time a sermon goes out and it's put out there on YouTube or on whatever social media outlet it might be, on Facebook or whatever, and people listen to it, we are packaging the Word of God and getting the seed out of the barn. You know, you know about some issues we had with YouTube, and we recently had one of our accounts shut down, and that's okay. We just have another account. We just keep getting the word out. And you know, we've already started on the project of getting some of these other social media outlets going. And it takes a little longer than you might think getting all these accounts set up. We already have, you know, Real Video and Daily Motion set up, and we're getting preaching out there. Hey, you know, let me give you something to think about and something to pray about. We are in the process. Now, look, I'm not making any promises, so it might fall through, especially with a church like ours and the reputation we have. But we're actually, if you would pray about this, we are in the process right now of signing a contract of getting the preaching from Verity Baptist Church on public access television in Sacramento. And you say, Pastor Jimenez, you know, why would you do that? Well, we would do that because our job, because we're trying to get the seed out of the barn. Because if there's people out there that can get, you know, hear the preaching of the Word of God and can get, you know, the messages out there, hey, we're trying, you know, we say we're going to knock doors. Yes, we're going to continue to knock doors. But if we can do it on YouTube, if we can do it on public access television, if we can do it, you know, we can mail out these things. Look, everything we do around here is we're trying to package the Word of God and get it out in the community. Get it out into the people. That's why we take time to make documentaries, and you know, we make these documentaries and we get them, you know, packaged and ready to be sent out. You know, we order these things and we give these things out for free. Say, so you don't sell them like most churches do. We don't sell anything at Verity Baptist Church. We don't make the house of God a house of merchandise. You say, well, this costs money. Yes, it costs money to make these things, and then we go out and give it out by the droves. Why? Because we're getting the seed out of the barn. Because we're getting the Word of God out there. We're getting things out there that, look, here's what you need to understand. Every time that a sermon is preached, every time that a documentary is made, every time that a DVD is made, every time that a soul winner goes out and knocks on the door, it's just one more hook in the water to reach people. Ask around. I mean, ask people here. You ask people in our church, how did you get saved? Some of them are going to say, someone knocked on my door. Some of them are going to say, I got an invitation on the door and I showed up and got saved at church. Some of them are going to say, I was watching After the Tribulation on YouTube, or I was watching New World Order Bible versions, or I was listening to... Look, all of these sermons, you know, we preach, you say, sometimes you preach these crazy sermons about human trafficking and about this and about that. You say, why do you do that? Because when people are searching those things and they listen to those things and interested, it's just one more hook. And maybe they listen to that sermon, and then they'll listen to another sermon, and then they'll listen to another sermon, and eventually they get saved. Eventually they come to church. There was a time in our history when we had bench ads all over Sacramento, you know, advertising our church, and that bench ad eventually got canceled because, you know, all the protests and things that were going on. But, you know, it's been a few years now, and you better believe that, you know, maybe in like 6 months or 8 months, I'm going to have one of the staff guys call under a different name and try to get those bench pads back. You say, why? Because there's one more seat. You know, those bench ads helped. I think it was Brother Montel. You know, those were instrumental in getting his church, getting his family into church. You know, and it helped. Just one more exposure. You know, bench ad that said, are you tired of liberal preaching? You know, and maybe we'll do something different. Maybe we'll just get bench ads and say, do you want to know for sure how to that you're on your way to heaven? Call this number. I don't know. You know, but you say, what are you trying to do? Look, I wake up every day trying to think to myself, how can we get the seed out of the barn? How can we get the Word of God out of the barn? How can we get more hooks in the water? The documentary, look, this is why we give you all of these resources. All these resources that our church makes, these business cards that we give out, and they've got advertising to documentaries and videos on how to know you're on your way to heaven. You say, why do you do that? Because we're just trying to package the Word of God and get the seed out. This is part of the Family and Friend Day. You know, and again, I realize, and we're going to get back to the Word here in a minute, but, you know, do you realize that we format these big days? And I realize, you know, if you're a guest this morning, you're kind of coming in. I'm talking to our church family this morning. You know, but we're going into a big day. Do you realize that we format these big days to try to help you have an opportunity to invite your friends and your family? Hence the name, Family and Friend Day. You know, and we do series on purpose at the Family and Friend Days that might be something that help that someone has a question about, something that something is interested in. We do that. I didn't ask, and I apologize, Miss Tamara, if I can use you as an example. I didn't ask her for this. But I remember Miss Tamara coming to church for the first time. She came on a Family and Friend Day. And I remember she gave me this testimony. She said she was going to come. She was invited. And she thinks, I'm going to come one time and I'm never coming back. But on that Family and Friend Day, we started a series called Spiritual Warfare. what the Bible teaches about demonic influences and angels and all that. And she was interested. And she said, well, I'll come back just for the series. And by the time the four-week series was done, she was one of us. Been here ever since. You know, you say, here's what I'm saying. Some, you might invite someone who comes for the hamburger and the hot dog, but when we preach about why bad things happen to good people, they might think to themselves, you know, I'm going to come back for that. And after 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks, they might just be one of us. They might get saved and they might get baptized. They might get grown. You say, there's a method to the madness. And here's what I'm asking. You say, what are you trying to get us to do? I'm trying to get you to get motivated to help us get the seed out of the barn. We need to reach this community with the gospel. And look, we'll do everything we can. We'll get it. We'll get billboards if we can. We'll put it on the radio if we can. We'll put it on the television if we can. We'll put it on every social media outlet. You know, the reason we have the preaching CDs out there, it's not just for you. Take those preaching CDs and give them out. The reason we have the Bible's Way to Heaven on a DVD, you say, I don't know how to give the gospel. Can you give out a DVD that explains to someone how to get saved in 9 different languages? You know, we have the lessons for new believers out there. Can you give those out? Lessons for people to learn the Word of God. And look, these psychopath reprobates, I'm telling you, this is probably, I think, the most important thing that we could be giving out as a church. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but the big fight in our today in our communities is this reprobate doctrine. I mean, this is, for whatever reason, this is what Satan has decided. There's always a fight in every generation. And in our generation, we didn't choose it. We didn't decide it. But the reprobate doctrine is the big fight of today. And you know what I know? Here's what I know. We've had scores of people who have watched this documentary. Because you say, well, what's the point of the documentary? Here's what the documentary does. It takes the Word of God. It teaches a biblical principle. But it does it in an entertaining way. It does it in a way where people actually want to sit down and watch it and listen to it, and it convinces them. There's been tons of people that have watched this documentary and have came back and said, I didn't used to believe the reprobate doctrine, but I believe it now. Because the documentary helped them. And look, here's the thing. And, you know, let me give you a testimony about the psychopath reprobates. Pastor Anderson from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, he shared this with me. But, you know, every year he goes, he's invited to a college where he gives a class about, they have this religious, you know, church class in this community college in Arizona, in Tempe, and they invite him as the local, you know, hate preacher or whatever, to come talk about, you know, his weird views or whatever. But every year he comes, he brings a stack of all of the DVDs that they have, New World Order Bible versions, you know, After the Tribulation, you know, Marching to Zion, all the documentaries they have, and he brings a stack of psychopath reprobates. You know what he said? He said, this is the first documentary to go, and like he'll have some of the other documentaries left, and people are asking, like, do you have more of that psychopath reprobate one? Do you have more of the psychopath? Because people are just super interested in this. I mean, I give this out all the time. I go through drive-thrus. I'm giving it to people. Yesterday, so when I was giving it to everybody, I told somebody was walking down the street. I said, hey, we're coming from Verity Baptist. Just want to give you an invitation. We're also giving out these free documentaries. And he's like, oh wow, that's real nice of you. He's looking at it, reading it. You know, people, look, this is a great thing to give out. Because, look, if people watch this, they'll get, if we convince them on the reprobate thing, it's just downhill from there. They'll accept everything else if they can understand, you know, the reprobate doctrine. And then they watch it, and guess what? At the end, there's a gospel presentation, you know, and it helps them to learn. It helps them to grow, you know, and we need to be getting this out. You know, this week when you're out soul winning, hand these things out together. And you say, oh, yeah, but it says psychopath reprobate. Look, people love this stuff. This is why people watch Dateline. This is why people watch. Type in psychopath in YouTube, and you know what you'll find? All those videos have like 2 million views, 3 million views. And you don't even have to tell people. Just say, hey, we're giving out this free gift. People love free gifts. You say, why? Why do it? Here's why we do it. Because we're getting the seed out. We're packaging the Word of God, and we're getting it out into the community. Are you there in 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1. All of that was introduction. Now, let me give you the sermon real quickly, all right? The intro is longer than the sermon. Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn? Now, let me just give you 3 thoughts real quickly, and we won't be long. Number one, why we must get the seed out. Why we must get the seed out. 1 Peter 1:23. I want you to notice this verse. I want you to look down at it, because this is actually a verse and a thought and a doctrine that's under attack today. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, being born again. Being born again. See, the goal is that people would be born again. And how do people get born again? How do they get saved? Being born again. Notice, not of corruptible what? seed. What's the seed? It's the Word of God. We already saw that from Luke. We're going to see it here in this chapter. It's the same thing. But notice, they're not born again of corruptible seed. See, there is some seed out there. There are some things out there that are called the Holy Bible, that are called the Word of God, but they're corrupted. Like the New International Version. Like the New King James Version. Like the ESV. You say, I've never heard this before. We got a documentary to give you. We can help you understand that. But look, here's all you need to know. The new versions today are corrupted. They attack the deity of Christ. They attack salvation by grace through faith. And here Peter is already warning people. Even in the first century, the Word of God was being corrupted. He said, look, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Someone has to be saved by the incorruptible Word of God. You say, how do you know it's the Word of God? We'll keep reading. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Did you know that people need the Word of God to get saved? Now that teaching is under attack today. This week I saw a video of a pastor, Pastor Kerry Brown. Supposedly, you know, he's an independent Baptist. Pastors a church down in Marysville, Bible Baptist Church. He was talking about the Apostle Paul, and he says in that video, he says that the Apostle Paul, you know, just gave the gospel, and he never quoted Scripture. Apostle Paul never quoted Scripture, and he says, if that works for him, that works for us. And he's trying to tell his church family, just go out there, don't quote Scripture, just tell people about Jesus. No, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Which liveth in the mighty firm. And he says, oh, well, the Apostle Paul didn't quote Scripture. Here's the question I got for him. Have you ever read the books by the Apostle Paul? Have you ever read Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon? Have you ever read these books? You know what you find when you read those books? That the Apostle Paul is constantly quoting this Old Testament. He keeps saying, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. As it is written, as it is written. You think the Apostle Paul wasn't quoting Scripture when he was giving the gospel to people? He does it all the time in the books he wrote. But this is the thought that's being put out there today. We don't need the Bible. Don't go out there with your Bible. Just tell people about Jesus. No, you need the Word of God being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's why the seed needs to get sown. That's why the seed needs to get out of the barn. That's why the seed, you say, why must we get the seed out? Because the seed is needed for salvation. Go to Isaiah, Isaiah 55. If you go to the end of the of the Old Testament, it's the first of the major prophets, Isaiah 55. You say, why does the seed need to get out? Well, the seed needs to get out. Listen to me. The seed needs to get out because the seed is needed for salvation. This is why the sower went out to sow the seed. The sower did not go out to explain the seed. He did not go out to illustrate the seed. He did not go out to put the seed into his own work. No, he went out to sow the seed. Because the seed is needed for salvation. But you know what? You say, why do we get the seed out? Because the seed is needed for salvation. But also because the seed will not come back void. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says this. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Notice these words. It shall not return unto me void. See, the problem with your little illustration is that it doesn't have the promise of the Word of God that it won't come back void. The problem with your little explanation is that it doesn't have the promise of the Word of God that it will not come back void. But you know what God promises will never come back void? It's the Word of God. And look, I'm not against illustrations and explanations. I think we should give people the Word and explain it and illustrate it and help them to understand. But don't forget the Word. Look, when you're out soul winning, make sure you're giving the Word. Make sure you're going to the verses. Make sure you're explaining the Bible. Why? Because it is the Word that has the promise to not come back void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And look, when the Word of God is preached, whether people get saved or not, it will accomplish what needs to be accomplished. They will get the Word of God. You say, why does the seed need to get out? Because the seed is needed for salvation. Why does the seed need to get out? Because the seed will not come back void. Why does the seed need to get out? Because the seed has the power to do what you and I cannot do. Go back to Acts, if you don't mind. Acts, the Word of God, Say, Pastor Jimenez, when we come to Verity Baptist Church, you know, I've noticed you're not like other preachers where you tell a lot of stories. You know, I'll tell stories from time to time, but I'm not the guy that gets up and just reads a verse and tells stories for 20 minutes. You don't tell a lot of jokes. Sometimes people laugh, and I'm not even sure why. I'm like, I wasn't joking, you know. You don't tell a lot of jokes. You don't tell a lot of stories. You know what we do when you come to Verity Baptist Church? We give you the Word of God in heavy doses. Have you ever noticed, you know, let me give you the basic principle of the preaching here at Verity Baptist Church. We read a verse, then I holler about it for a while. Then we read a verse, then I holler about it for a while. Then we read a verse, then I holler about it for a while. You say, why? Because the Word of God, look, the Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is more powerful. Look, here's what I know. My stories and my jokes and my illustrations and my poem can't transform your life, but the Word of God can. Amen. The Word of God can get you saved. The Word of God can help your marriage. The Word of God can help you become the father you need to be and the mother you need to be, the wife you need to be, the citizen you need to be, the employee. It is the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. See, it is the Word of God. The Word of God can do what I can't do. It can penetrate your heart. So we must get the seed out. Why? Why get the seed out? Because we need the seed. Because people need the seed to get saved. Why get the seed out? Because the seed will not come back void. It will return. It will accomplish. It will prosper the thing whereunto God sent it. Why get the seed out? Because it is the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now here's the question. How do we get the seed out? How do we get the seed out? Well, this is why we have soul winning. This is why we have the soul winning push. Look, this is why this week, we're promoting a big soul winning push on Thursday at 2 p.m. and on Friday at 6 p.m. and on Saturday at 10 a.m. And I hope that you would decide, I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to get on board. Here's a question I have for you. Is the seed yet in the barn? See, some of you have been coming to a church like this, and you've been growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and praise the Lord for it, and you've been receiving instruction, and you've been receiving the Word, and you've been drinking it in, and you've been learning a lot about the Bible, you've been learning a lot about the Word, but you haven't done anything to get it out. This is why the Apostle Paul said, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He said, look, I want to open my mouth and do what? Get the seed out. Open my mouth boldly. You say, what are you going to do when we go out soul winning? We're going to go knock doors and we're going to engage people with the gospel. We're going to open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our seed is hid, it's hid to them who need it the most. Are you there in Acts 17? Acts 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Go to Acts 17. Acts 17. Look at verse 16. Notice what the Apostle Paul did. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, he's in Athens waiting for Timothy and others to come. The Bible says his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Does it break your heart when you see people out in the community? Good people, sincere people, who are going to die and go to hell because they've been lied to about religion. Because they've been wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, notice what he did. Disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons. Notice, and in the market daily with them that met with him. What did Paul do? He took it to them. He went out into the community. He didn't sit around in some sort of holy huddle and said, well, hopefully people will come to church and then pastor can preach the gospel to them and get them saved. No, he went to them in the synagogue and in the marketplace and he took it. He went on the offensive. Why? Because his spirit was stirred. Because his heart was broken. Because he realized that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You say, how do we get the seed out? Well, we do it by soul winning. By knocking every door in this community. Look, our church has a goal of knocking every door in the city of Sacramento. We've got however many millions of people that live in this city, and we're going to knock every door. And you say, what are we going to do once we've accomplished that goal? Are we going to retire? No, we're just going to do it again. Why? Because we're trying to get the seed out. because we're trying to reach the entire community, because we want it to be said that Sacramento has been filled with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. But now, I want you to notice there in Acts 17, not only did the Apostle Paul take it to them, not only did he take it to them on the offensive to the community, in the market and in the synagogue. Look at verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" And by the way, don't get discouraged when people mock us. Say, "Yeah, but Pastor Jimenez, the more you try to get the word out there and the more outlets, the more attention that this church gets and the more people mock at it and say, oh, he's just a babbler." They said that about Paul. It didn't stop him. Reading the comments on YouTube didn't stop him. They said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Verse 19. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." And listen to me. When we knock on the door of a Roman Catholic who's been taught their whole life that they're going to go to heaven if they live a good life and if they take the sacraments and if they go to the confessional booth and if they, get baptized and if they keep the seven sacraments, when we go to a Roman Catholic who's been taught their whole life that they have to work their way to heaven, and we show them that the Bible says that it's not of works, that it's a free gift, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, "This is strange. This is different." But they need to know what the Bible says. When you go to a Christian, when you go to a Pentecostal who's been taught their whole life that they have to repent of their sins in order to be saved, and you show them that the Bible teaches that repenting of your sin is a work, and that, look, after you're saved, God wants you to repent of all your sins, but in order to be saved, you don't have to repent of any sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They're going to say, "That's strange. That's not what I've been taught." They're going to tell you, "I was taught you got to get baptized to go to heaven." When, look, when we go to these people that have been taught false religion, whatever religion that's teaching them work salvation, you can lose your salvation, you got to earn your salvation, and we go to them and we open our mouth boldly and explain to them what the Bible says, they're going to say, "This is strange, this is different." But this is what we're called to do. And some of them will mock, but I'll tell you this, some of them will believe. And some of them will be saved. Notice verse 20, Acts 17, verse 20. "For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Look, this is their equivalent of social media. I mean, you could put Facebook next to that verse. You can put YouTube next to that verse. Look at verse 22. "Then Paul stood in Mars Hill." And here's what I want you to understand. Paul not only went to them personally in the market, but he sought outlets where the message could be spread and heard. And he stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things," and notice, he didn't water it down, "ye are too superstitious." And he goes on to preach. You say, "Pastor Jimenez, if you're able to sign that contract and get the preaching of this church on television, are we going to start watering down the message?" Not at all. Are we going to start, just preaching shorter sermons, just sweetness and light, just nice things? No, we're just going to stand up and preach the Word of God. And you say, "Yeah, but you're going to sign a contract. What if it's expensive? What if it's something?" Here's what I've learned. The beautiful thing about me signing contracts is that it's real easy for me to get out of a contract if I want to. Now, we never lie and we never do anything. We meet our commitments. But if there's ever a contract, look, you say, if you sign this contract to get your preaching on TV, and then you decide you don't want to be on TV anymore, what do? Here's all I do. I preach a controversial sermon. They cancel me. And the great thing about them canceling the contract is it costs us nothing. A few months into it, it's not really working, it's not really getting, then I just get up and preach psychopath reprobates, and that'll be the end of it. Here's what I'm telling you, though. We're not going to compromise. We're going to use every opportunity as long as we have it to get the seed out. Why? Because the seed needs to get out of the barn. Here's the question. Is the seed yet in the barn? Are you helping get the Word of God out? See, Paul looked for outlets. He looked for Mars Hill where he could go and preach and teach. Go to Philippians chapter 4. You're there in Acts. You can go past Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. When you get to Philippians, do me a favor, put a ribbon or a bookmark there because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. Philippians chapter 4. While you turn there, let me read for you out of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 3 says this, therefore, whatsoever, this is Jesus speaking, therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear, in the closet, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Look, we're not embarrassed or ashamed of anything the Word of God says. We will preach it. We will preach it in the light. We will proclaim it upon the housetops. And you say, yeah, but that turns people away. Every time the Word of God is preached, it will not come back void. You know, a couple of years ago when one of my sermons was going viral all over the news and people were here, you say, yeah, there was a lot of attacks that came as a result. But you better believe, and we've heard the testimony, that there was lots of people who heard that and said, I want to hear more of that. And they ended up hearing other sermons and getting hooked and getting saved and even joining the movement and things like that. You say, why? Because the Word of God, look, it doesn't matter what's preached from the Bible, it will never come back void. When it comes to the Bible, there's no bad publicity. It's all good. As long as we're willing to suffer a little bit, as long as we're willing to be made fun of a little bit, as long as we're willing to have people say, what will this babbler say? As long as we're willing to be the instrument that's used, the Word of God will do what it needs to do. We must proclaim it upon the housetops. How will we get the Word of God out? Well, we'll get it out. We'll get it out by door-to-door soul winning, by knocking doors. Look, I thank the Lord for all of the soul winners that go out into this community, but we need more. We need more soldiers. We need more people out there. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it by using every social media outlet. If we can put it on TV, we'll put it on TV. If we can put it on the radio, we'll put it on the radio. If we can put it on YouTube, we'll put it on YouTube. And we'll put it on Facebook. And we'll put it on Real Video. And we'll put it on whatever outlet we're able to do. How else will we do it? We'll do it by investing the money donated to this church in getting the word out. Read it in Philippians 4. Look at verse 15. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Philippians 4, 15 says this, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. This is the Apostle Paul. While he's out there on Mars Hill, preaching the word, getting all of Ephesus to hear, getting all of Galatia to hear, while he's out there, he says, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, he said, the church at Philippi was the only church that gave to the ministry, he says, for even in Thessalonica, yet ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now notice what he says, not because I desired a gift, not because I desired a fancy car, not because I desired fancy clothes, not because, and look, you say, Pastor Ben, you're going to go on TV, don't worry, I'm not turning into a televangelist. Okay? First Sunday on TV, I'm not going to come up here with a hat and a feather in my hat, you know, and a necklace on and a big old ring, okay? You say, are you going to continue to preach against TV? I will preach against the TV preachers even while I'm on TV. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift. Notice what he says. But I desired fruit that may abound to your account. See, when people invested into the ministry, financially into the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and he took the seed out of the barn, and he put the seed out in the field, and people got saved, you know that those people received a reward in heaven? There was fruit that may abound to their account. You know, let me just give a message to all of you who support this ministry financially. You know, even people watching on live stream right now, the Lord has blessed our church with many people outside of our church that have been blessed by the ministry of our church. We get checks in the mail every week. We get donations online every week. And look, we're not a rich church by any means. In fact, you know, because of this attitude of getting the seed out of the barn, you know, we always have, you know, God takes care of us. But even now, you know, we just got done with the Red Hot Preaching Conference and put a lot of money into that thing. And our accounts, we're doing fine. We can pay our bills. But, you know, they're a little lower than I'd like to see them. You know, but you say, are you worried about it? I'm not worried about it. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But let me tell you this. Everyone who invests into the ministry of this church, the people out there, even outside of our church, who support this ministry with checks every week and online, here's what I can tell them. They can be assured of that at Verity Baptist Church, their money is going to get the seed out of the barn. Amen. to get the Word of God into the world, into the community. You say, Pastor Jimenez, why do you meet in such a ghetto neighborhood? Now, look, I love our building. If you look at our building, I think our building is awesome. I mean, we do the best we can to take care of it and to make sure it looks nice or whatever. You say, but yeah, but you could be in a nicer neighborhood. You could have a much nicer building. You know what? I'd rather be in a ghetto neighborhood and have more money to do mission trips, have more money to plant churches, have more money to produce resources, have more money invested in getting the seed out of the barn. Amen. And by the way, that's why we're planting churches. Our church is 8 years old. It will be 8 years old next week. Verity Baptist Church was started as a church plant 8 years ago. You say, Pastor Jimenez, yeah, you know, there's about 150 people here. Don't you think if you invested more of the resources here that you could get more people? Look, the goal is not to build this church up. Now, if God wants to build a church, let him do it. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But you know, what's your goal? My goal is not to get the biggest crowd to come into this church, into this building. My goal is to get the seed out of the barn. And if we can get more seed out of the barn by investing money into planting the church up in Vancouver, which, by the way, is a thriving church up there. I mean, it's a year old, and I'm sure this morning there's 80 people there. I'm sure this morning they'll have 60 soul winners out. A thriving ministry. I mean, do you realize that our church planted another church in Vancouver, Washington, and that church, and you said, did it cost us money? Yes, it cost us money. Was it a lot of work? Yes, it was a lot of work. Was there stress there at times and trying to balance both churches? Yes, but you know what? That is fruit that will abound to our account. Amen. And you know, as soon as that was done, what did we do? We started a church in Boise. And that church, I mean, this week, I'm sure, right now, I'm sure there's 30 people meeting up there. There'll be 20 people out soul winning. And is that work? Of course it's work. Sending somebody up there every week is a lot of work. Organizing that thing is a lot of work. You know, spending time and all those things is work. You say, why do you do it? Why do you do it? Because we're trying to get the seed out of the barn. We're getting ready to send Brother Stuckey and Miss Tan out to the Philippines to start a church in Manila. Do you realize I'll be pastoring three churches at once here in Sacramento, one in Boise, one in the Philippines. And thank God for men like Brother Stuckey who will be the boots on the ground and taking care of the load out there, you know. But you say, why? You say, why do that? Why not just try to invest more here and try to grow this church? Because look, we're not trying to fill this house up. We're trying to get the seed out of the barn. We're trying to get the Word of God out. And look, here's all I'm telling you is the investment that's financially given to this church. I can promise you we're going to use it to get the seed out of the barn. To get the Word of God out there. That fruit may abound to your account. Keep your place there in Philippians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You're there in Philippians, just go to 2 Corinthians. And look, of course, as a pastor, you know, sometimes we spend and spend and spend. We've got missions trips. We've got these activities and that activity. Sometimes we have to pull back the reins a little bit. That's all right. You know, but you say, does it worry? Do you get worried? No, what have we talked about so far? We talked about why we need to get the seed out. Why do we need to get the seed out? Because people need the Word of God to get saved. Because the Word of God will not come back void. Because the Word of God is powerful. How do we get the seed out? We get the seed out by mobilizing and motivating soul winners to go out in the community to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By using every outlet available to get the preaching of the Word of God out there. By making every resource available free and handing it out and putting one more hook in the water. But let's talk about this thirdly. How does God provide for those who get the seed out? Say, Pastor Jimenez, are you worried? I mean, you got a church in Boise, you got a church in Manila. These things are going to cost money. You're going to sign a contract and start putting preaching on TV. That's going to cost money. We're making these documentaries. We're making these DVDs. All these things cost money. Are you worried about it? You know, I don't worry about it because God is the one that will provide the seed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 10. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians 9, 10. Remember, the question is the seed yet in the barn? Is a seed yet in the barn? You say, yeah, but should we save some of it and keep some of it just in case? 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he there is talking about God. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Excuse me. Who is it that ministers seed to the sower? Who is it that provides us the opportunities and the resource to get the seed out? It's God. Look. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministereth bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. You say, what if you give out too much seed? It is God that ministers seed to the sower. God will provide more seed. God will provide more resources. God will provide more of what's needed. Go to Matthew chapter 25, first book in the New Testament, Matthew. See, here's what you need to understand. God is an investor, and God invests in those things worth investing into. The only thing I'm worried about, you say, are you worried about attendances? And of course, we track attendances, and we track giving, and we track all those things. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you worry about that? And the answer is no. Here's what I worry about. I worry about our church being a church worthy of God investing into it. As long as God sees us as a good investment, as long as God realizes I can invest into that church, and that church will do what I need it to do, get the seed out, I'm not worried about it. Matthew 25, verse 28, notice what Jesus said in the parable of the talents. He said, take therefore the talent from him, the guy that did nothing. Take the talent from him and give it unto him, which hath 10 talents. You know that God has blessed our church by taking great church members and great soul winners out of churches that were doing nothing, and he invested them here? You say, why? Because God knew we'd do something with them. Because God knew we'd put them to work. Because God knew that I'd get up every once in a while and tell you, hey, why don't you come out soul winning with us on Thursday at 2 p.m.? Why don't you come out soul winning with us on Friday at 6 p.m.? Why don't you come out soul winning with us on Saturday at 10 a.m. and on Sunday at 2 p.m.? Why? Because God is an investor. He says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. See, we just need to make sure that we're worthy of God investing into us. You're there in Matthew 25. Flip back to Matthew chapter 9. And look, we're not just talking about finances. And of course, finances is part of it. But even just laborers. Matthew 9 and verse 36 says this, but when he saw the multitude. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. And look, that compassion is the key. Remember, Paul said that his spirit was stirred. His heart was stirred. Look, as a church, we need to get stirred up. You realize that there are people in this community that are dying and going to hell, and some of them don't want to hear, but some of them would get saved if somebody would share the gospel with them. Some of them would hear. Some of them would receive it. Some of them are just waiting for somebody to come to them, and that somebody is you and me. Jesus said, the Bible says about Jesus, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And look, I see people in our community today, and I realize that if we could just get them the word of God, it would help them. Not only get them saved, it help their lives. Look at verse 37. Then saith he to his disciples, and this is as true today as it was when Jesus spoke it, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know that I'm praying right now that the Lord would send forth laborers from Verity Baptist Church into his harvest. I thank God for the 70 to 80 soul winners, which is what we normally have around here, 70 to 80 soul winners every week that go out in the community and knock doors and preach the gospel to unbelievers. You say, are you happy with that? I'm happy with it. You know, I'm content but not complacent. I'd rather have 100. I don't see any reason in the world why our church with 150 people in it couldn't have 100 people out knocking doors, preaching the gospel, getting the seed out. And you say, well, who's going to do it? You are. Amen. We need you to get involved. We need you to get a broken heart. We need you to realize that the reason that God left you here after salvation was to get the seed out that others might be saved. And the pastor Jimenez, well, once we have 100, will that be enough? No, then we'll push for 120. Then we'll push for 150. Why? Because the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go back to Philippians if you kept your place there. Philippians chapter 4. I'm almost done. We're going to go to Philippians, then we'll go to Psalms. I'll read out one verse out of Acts and we'll be done. Philippians chapter 4. You say, how does God provide for those who get the seed out? Well, he'll provide laborers. We must pray for laborers. He'll provide laborers. He'll provide the seed. If we spend all the money on resources, you know what I believe? I believe God will just give us more money to buy more resources. get package the seed in more ways to just get it out, to get it out. You say, yeah, but Pastor Jimenez, are you worried financially? Are you worried financially? And look, right, like I said, right now we're in a place financially where we're having to pull back a little bit. We've invested a lot, especially because of the Red Hot Preaching Conference and things. You know, the accounts are not as I'd like them to be. We're not in trouble. I want to make sure that we're paying our bills. Everything's fine. But, you know, there are times that happen like that, you know. And you say, why? Well, why do we do that? Because, look, we're taking risks for God. We're doing things. You say, yeah, but, you know, did we have the money to start a church in Manila? We'll never have the money to start a church in Manila. If we have this attitude that God has to send in the payroll before we do anything, we'll never do anything. Sometimes we got to just step out by faith. But here's what I believe. Here's what I believe. When we get the seed out, God will provide. It's a promise. Philippians 4, are you there? Remember Philippians, Paul was talking about the fact that they were investing into ministry. I was getting the word out. Here's what God promises to churches that will get the seed out. Philippians 4:18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Notice verse 19. He's telling the church of Philippi that he received their gift, and it's helping him. Verse 19, he tells them, he says, but my God shall supply all your need. Look, that people want to claim that verse all the time, but please understand this. That is a verse that is given to people who are supporting missions, supporting soul winning, and financially supporting churches that are getting the seed and the word out into the community. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, Pastor Jimenez, does it work? I mean, we give out so much stuff. Give out so many documentaries and preaching CDs and DVD. And look, we've got more plans. And you're going to get the bench ads again. That's going to cost money. Look, we're working on a plan right now where we're going to send a documentary, probably Psychopaths Reprobates, to every house, every person that moves into Sacramento within in this city. We're getting their addresses. Everyone who buys a house every week. And right now we get those and we use those for big days like Family and Friend Day and Easter. We're going to start just sending them DVDs, every single person, every single one of them. You say, why would you do that? To get the seed out. Many of them will just throw it away, but somebody will watch it. Someone will get hooked. Someone will get saved. Someone will visit as a result. Well, isn't that going to cost money? It's going to cost money. Isn't that going to need work? Yeah, you better believe. We're going to come to you and ask, hey, we need volunteers. Isn't it going to, you say, aren't you worried about the finance? You know what? If God dies, then I'll worry. If God dies, then I'll worry about the rent. If God dies, then I'll worry about, you know, the insurance. If God dies tomorrow, then maybe we'll have to just kind of close down and go do something else. But as long as God is on his throne, we'll just keep putting fuel in that van. We'll just keep sending it out. We'll just keep doing what God has called us to do. Why? Because our job is to get the seed out of the barn. So here's the question. Is the seed yet in the barn? See, some of you have got a whole lot of seed up here. You've got a whole lot of seed right here. And you're not out getting it out in the community. And I'm pleading with you to get involved. I'm pleading with you to help us to accomplish what God has called us to do, to get the seed out of the barn. Go to Psalm 126, the last place we'll look at. Psalm 126, we're going to look at a couple of verses in Psalm 126. I'll read for you a verse out of Acts 2 and we'll be done. Psalm 126, if you open up the Bible, you'll more than likely fall in the center of the Bible. Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse 5. Psalm 126, 5 says this. Notice what it says. They that sow. What does that mean? That means get the seed out of the barn. That means get the seed out in the field. That means get the seed out into the world. They that sow. Don't miss this. Remember, Jesus was moved with compassion. Remember, Paul's spirit was stirred in him. Notice what it says here. They that sow. Don't miss this. In tears. You want to know why you don't go soul winning? You want to know why I don't go, when I don't, if I don't go soul winning, why? When people that are saved, when people have the gospel, hide it. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that lost. You don't know why you do that? It's just, look, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. It's just the truth. You just don't care. It just doesn't matter to you.
that people are going to die and go to hell. But when it does matter, look, when it matters to you, when your heart's broken, you'll sow. They that sow in tears, notice what it says, shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth, notice, it's not coming in. It's going forth, getting the seed out of the barn, spreading the seed out in the community. He that goeth forth, and it's always keeps coming up, weepeth. The broken heart, the stirred up spirit, the compassion that makes a difference. He that goeth forth and weepeth, notice, bearing precious seed. It's the word of God. Notice what it says. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You say, Pastor Jimenez, but what if we spend all that money getting every person that moves into Sacramento, getting them DVDs and documentaries, preaching all over the internet and on TV and bench ads and having 100 soul winners out every week and giving out invitations and documentaries and what if we do all that and nothing happens? You know, here's what I know. You can't sow that much seed without something springing up. He says, look, they shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Acts 20:31, you don't have to turn there. Paul said this, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, here's what Paul said, I cease not to warn everyone night and day. Don't miss it, it's always there, with tears, with a broken heart, with compassion for those who need the gospel. You say, what do? We must go. We must go weeping. We must go sowing. And we will come again with rejoicing. We will come back reaping. Now look, practically speaking, you say, Pastor Maz, what can I do? Practically speaking, here's what you can do. You can join us for soul winning. Amen. Look, I'm unashamedly asking you, would you? Some of you, we've been announcing the soul winning thing, and you've been saying, yeah, I don't know about that. I'm asking you, would you come? If you can come on Thursday, would you come? Will you make the effort? If you could come on Friday, will you come? Will you make the effort? If you can come on Saturday, will you come? I'm asking those of you who don't go soul winning, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't even know what I do. I don't even know what to say. That's okay. If you will come, we will partner you with someone who knows what to do, who knows what to say. You can be a silent partner, and they'll do all the work. And you say, well, how does that help? Look, that helps immensely, because here's what ends up happening. At our church, we have a rule that we send people out two by two. We do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, that's what the Bible says to do. Number two, there's strength in numbers for protection, for fellowship, things like that. And here's the thing. Sometimes we have to send two people who are both talkers together because we have no one else to send them. But if you show up and you're a silent partner, and now we got two silent partners and two talkers, now we just doubled our forces. Do you understand that? So if you say, I've never been soul winning, you can help us accomplish more. And I'm asking you, would you come? Some of you go every week. You go every Saturday. You go every Thursday. I'm asking, would you come just this week, would you come twice? Some of you go out twice. Would you come three times? I'm asking you, would you get involved? Would you get involved in the ministry of getting? You say, what is this church about? We're all about getting the seed out of the barn. Would you help us? Some of you need to get involved financially. You've been coming to this church and you've been enjoying the preaching and learning and growing, and praise the Lord for it. But you know what? You need to get invested. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you need to realize that this church is not, look, you are not investing into a church that's going to make anybody rich. Have you been to my house? Have you been to Brother Stuckey's house? Have you been to Brother Oliver? You know, and I'm not mocking their houses. I'm just telling you, no one's getting rich around here. We're paying the bills and we're doing what we need to do and paying insurance or whatever, and then we're taking everything we can. We're taking everything we can and we're investing it into getting churches planted and getting the seed out of the barn. And you need to get involved. Some of you need to just get involved in the volunteer work around here and realize that there's lots of work that can be done. You say, yeah, but does it really help to clean a building? It helps to clean a building when a visitor comes into this church and gets saved. When a visitor comes into this church and comes back and gets baptized, when a visitor comes into the church and gets saved and gets baptized, and then we start helping, the preaching starts helping restore their marriage, And it helps them, you know, develop a better work ethic and start getting their finances in order and start raising their kids better. And you're actually investing into that individual when you say, does it help, you know, that I strain out the chairs, that I vacuum? Does it help? Of course it helps when we prepare what God has given us to get the word out, to drive a van, to lead a soul winning, whatever it might be. Look, whatever opportunity, you need to get involved. We need your help. We need your help. You say, why? Because our goal, look, our goal is not to gather every Sunday and have a holy huddle. Our goal is to gather and motivate each other and mobilize each other to get the seed out of the barn. So here's the question. Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn? And if it is, will you help us get it out? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for our church. And we thank you for the great, Lord, over the last 8 years, you have used this church to get the seed out of the barn. You have used this church to get the word of God out in the community, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to transform lives. You've helped us do all of that. And Lord, all I'm asking this morning is that we would continue and do more. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. I pray that it would be said of Verity Baptist Church one day, like Paul said of the church at Rome, that your faith is heard about in all the world. And Lord, help us to reach